Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to continue today in our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we're actually going to be starting verse number 7 today, which says, "So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about this church in Thessalonica and saying that, "So that ye were ensamples to all that believe." So he's talking about these individuals who are part of this local assembly and who they are in relationship to the other members of the body of Christ. And the one thing we always have to remember as we look at the idea of the fellow believers is this functioning of how we truly do function together. I just want to look for a second here over at Galatians chapter number 6, where the Apostle Paul makes a reference to the body as a whole when he says here in Galatians chapter number 6, and let's read verse 10, which says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So as the Apostle Paul is talking about this role that we are to have and the relationship we're to have with other individuals, the first part of this is that we are to try to do good unto everybody. You know, and that's not just doing good to our friends or doing good to our family. We're supposed to be trying to do good unto all men. Now, the Apostle Paul does put one qualifier on there when he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So that's especially unto those who are part of the whole body of Christ. And this is something that unfortunately individuals today really struggle with at times because they look at other members of the body and don't hold them to the esteem that the Apostle Paul says that we should. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. You know, for example, when he talks about the church at Rome in the early part of the book of Romans, and we very clearly are able to see the care that he has for this assembly, and we also realize the fact that he has never met these individuals. He has never seen them face to face. All he has heard of is the fact that they are believers. He's heard of the faith that they have, and as a result of hearing of the faith that they have, realizing the fact that they are truly members of the body of Christ, he can hold them to that esteem of saying that they are part of this household of faith, counting them as part of the brethren and holding them to this esteem. And an individual becomes a part of the body of Christ the moment they put their trust in the gospel. And the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that alone for salvation, the moment that happens, immediately the person is placed into the body of Christ. And the other glorious thing that happens with this is that the sealing ministry of the Spirit keeps us in the body of Christ. So there's nothing we can do that would actually take us out of the body of Christ. And that's such a glorious thing, especially when we think about all the things that are written about Israel's program and how somebody truly could lose their salvation in their program. That's where you see passages like in Hebrews chapter number 6, where it's talking about someone that's falling away from those things and how it would be impossible for them to come back because they would have to have the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ all over again for themselves. but it was possible for them to actually have this occur. Now, the Apostle Paul also talks about that relationship that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to have, and how there's nothing that can truly separate an individual from being part of that body. And I want to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 for just a moment to see what it is that the Apostle Paul actually says related to this idea of individuals who are part of this body of Christ. And here we have in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want to start here right at verse number 12, which is going to talk about the individual being put into the body, when it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now we're going to stop here for a second. We're going to continue on in this passage looking at some of the things the Apostle Paul says. But we see these things happening the moment that we put our trust in the gospel. We are baptized and placed into the body of Christ. It's an immediate thing that happens. There's nothing we have to do other than to put our trust in that gospel message. Now Paul continues on here, verse number 14. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" Now we're going to stop here again for a moment to talk about how that all members of the body have a role and a need as part of the body of Christ. And that there should not be, you know, in a sense what we're seeing in this, a jealousy of the fact that, you know, I want to be able to do what somebody else is doing. I want to have that role and that responsibility, not due to things that I'm currently doing for the body, for its edification, for its exhortation, and trying to say, I want to be like somebody else. The Apostle Paul saying that we are all necessary in the functioning that we have, and as part of that role of that we are functioning properly, he continues on here, verse number 20, "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now we see in this section of this chapter the whole issue and the problem that individuals do, of where individuals try to cut somebody off who's a member of the body of Christ and say that they have no need of this individual. And the Apostle Paul puts it in the example here to say that the head can't say to the feet. So the top part of the body can't say to the feet, which is the lowest part of the body, I have no need of you. Now we know that the head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, can't say to the lowest part of the body, I have no need of you, there's no way that any other member of the body of Christ can say that to a member of the body of Christ. We are all necessary. We're all supposed to be functioning together in the role of the exhortation and the edification of each other, and, you know, seeing that as a result of those things, the eldership continues on, and that generation after generation, we still have this message being preached to individuals today. And as a result of all this, the Apostle Paul is saying that these members of the body of Christ here in the Thessalonian church are functioning. He uses the word, ye were ensamples. Now, the one thing that individuals will almost try to read into this is that they'll see that word and say that it should be example, and, you know, just kind of skip over the fact that a different word is being used. Now, there is a real reason why the word ensample is actually being used. An ensample is a pattern that's being given to individuals who are part of that group. So it's, you know, something that is being done by one member of that group that other members of the same group are able to say, this is the pattern of how I should be functioning in my life. An example is a pattern that's given to all individuals, whether they're part of the group or not part of the group. It's something that everybody can look at and say, this is the pattern of how I should be functioning in my life. Now, we see use of this word ensample. And let's go over to 1 Peter chapter number 5 for a moment. And, you know, we're not going to be focusing on the doctrine so much of what's being said here, but we're going to be focusing on the use of this word. And here in 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to read here verse number 3, and it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So Peter, as he's writing to the individuals that he's being given to, is talking about how they're supposed to be a pattern to other members of the little flock, that believing remnant of the nation of Israel, showing how it is that they're supposed to be living the life that's been given to them. You know, and when we're talking about this time that Peter's writing in, which is focusing on the things in the 70th week of Daniel, the idea of being an example to other individuals is not needed, because those who are outside of the little flock would never follow that pattern anyways. So the only pattern that could be there is being the ensample, or being the pattern for those who are the true believers at that point in time. So this is what we see. We have to have the understanding of how it is that individuals can truly be functioning in that way, that they would be the ensample that the Apostle Paul is actually making a reference to. Now, I want to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, because Paul's going to talk here about how it is that individuals are able to function in this manner. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're getting into a discussion of how individuals learn information that God intends for them to understand. We're going to start at verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Even as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we read a lot of information in those verses talking about how individuals are able to gain the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. And when we see the Apostle Paul talk about that we have the mind of Christ, that possession that we have, that's talking about the fact that we have a completed Word of God today, that we're able to gain the knowledge from, that we need to be able to apply to ourselves. Now we see the Apostle Paul as he's talking here, and he talks about how the individual who has the Spirit inside of them, and that individual that has the Spirit inside of them is somebody who has put their trust in the gospel, who has that salvation, and as a result of having salvation, the Spirit can communicate with the Spirit that's inside of man to be able to give the information that man needs related to what the Word of God is actually saying to them. So as the person studies the Word of God rightly divided and starts comparing verses with verses, the Spirit gives the understanding of, okay, because you have this information in you, the Spirit is able to connect the dots to be able to help someone to understand what is being taught in those passages. Now, the verses also talk about how the natural man is not able to understand those things. And, you know, individuals who hear this and see how, you know, what is truly being said, almost think that it's kind of a harsh thing to say that an individual who's not saved is never going to understand the information that God's Word is trying to communicate to them. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is actually saying in this passage. And that's why the focus always has to be on the fact that salvation has to come first, and once salvation is there, then the person's going to be able to understand that information. They're going to be able to see the pattern that has been laid out in the Scriptures. The pattern that the Apostle Paul identifies that he is for all believers today. We see that pattern being spoken of. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul actually talking about how this is true. We're going to read here, we're just going to read one verse, verse number 16, that says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, the Apostle Paul, when he starts talking about the fact of him being a pattern, we always have to remember that the pattern that he's talking about has nothing to do with how he was saved. Because if it had something to do with how he was saved, then everybody who would be receiving salvation today would have to see the Lord Jesus Christ appear to them in the air in order for them to be able to receive salvation. That's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking about the information that he has given to us, the things that we found written starting in the book of Romans, ending with the end of the book of Philemon. Those 13 epistles give us the doctrinal information that functions as the Apostle Paul calls it, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Those 13 epistles are that pattern. That's why the Apostle Paul can actually describe this here. And we're reading 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I read the very first verse, which says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And so Paul's telling the church at Corinth that they need to follow him as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that he followed the Lord Jesus Christ through the things that are written in his epistles. So the members of the body of Christ today need to be doing the exact same thing, studying Paul's epistles to get the information that's needed, so that way we can follow that exact same pattern. That's why Paul gives us the information that he says. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, where we're going to read Apostle Paul talking about what it is that the grace of God actually gives here. And in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here, verse number 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And we see how the Apostle Paul talks about the grace of God that brings salvation, that's appeared to all men. It's also this same grace of God that teaches the individual who's part of the body of Christ the things that we're supposed to do, and it also teaches us the things that we're not supposed to do. And we see the Apostle Paul in his epistles, he lays out doctrinal information, and then as he lays out doctrinal information, he also lays out some practical information for the believer to say, okay, now that you understand the doctrine, this is how it's supposed to live out in your life, giving that pattern so that way the person can be, as Paul describes here and says about a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, that's the prayer that Paul has in the early part of the book of Colossians when he prays that they would grow in the knowledge of his will, and it talks about that they would result in them walking worthy. We see in a passage that's very familiar to a lot of individuals who understand right division. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And here in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, everyone is very familiar with those two passages talking about how an individual is saved by grace and they're not saved by the works that they're doing. But verse 10 is going to talk about the purpose of the salvation of individuals when he says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The purpose of our salvation is that it would result in those good works. They will result in what we read in Galatians chapter number 6, talking about how that individuals would do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And he uses that word should because that's the purpose that we have. But if we never fulfill that, we still have the salvation that's been given to us through what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. Now, by the explanation that we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 7, and the idea of that these individuals in Thessalonica were in samples, it means that they were functioning properly and exactly as Paul has written in his epistles, and demonstrating themselves to be a pattern to the people who are in Macedonia and Achaia. And in our next episode, we're going to talk about those two places and who they are and why the Apostle Paul picks those two places and why that they were that pattern for those groups of people. And so as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live. You know, if unfortunately, you do not have a local assembly in your area, you could always watch, you know, our messages live on Sunday mornings. You know, we have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option that's there. And if you ever have any questions or comments, you know, feel free to contact us at any point in time. We'd love to hear from each and every one of you. And, you know, we've received, you know, questions from, you know, several individuals who've been listening to these episodes. So, you know, if you do have a question, feel free to ask at any point in time. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.